Dubai 92, it's the Big Breakfast with Jono and Nats, and we are very excited for the guest that joins us today.
Well, we know him on stage as the pub landlord, this guy, multi-award winning, and you'll have laughed out loud to his comedy if you've ever seen him before. He's performing at Dubai Opera on the 16th of April as part of Dubai Comedy Fest. Al Murray joins us from his man cave this morning. Al, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, yes.
We're excited to chat to you. I don't think we've ever spoken to you before, but you've been in Dubai, you've done a few gigs over here in the past, so it's a return for you.
Over the years, I think I first came to Dubai in 2009, 2010, something like that. I'm not sure, but yeah, on and off, I've been popping over. And what I love about it is it's sort of kind of different each time because it changes so fast. So I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, where the cool places to go and what there is to do, you know.
I kind of feel like you've been here so much that you should have property here. Like at this point, you should kind of like part-time live here, you know. You've been here that often.
I don't know about that. I mean, I'm so busy touring. I mean, this year I'm out all year. I don't think I'd get time to pop back to the Emirate, but there we are.
Great to have a place over here, though, for tax purposes. So I've been told.
I've been led to believe.
Yeah. From a tax point of view, it's actually quite nice.
Is that right? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, no, I some friends
we
of mine.
We keep it on the down low. We don't like a lot of people to know, but we feel like we can be quite familiar with you because you've been here so much. So we just wanted to give you the insider scoop. Yeah.
If someone's heading along to the gig on the 16th of April, front row, is that an okay place to be? Or do you think the pub landlord might have take issue with people in the front row?
He doesn't have an issue with them. He wants to get to know them. My show's all about, I get the chance to come to a place and sort of take its temperature. So yeah, the front two, three, maybe five rows, you stand a chance of getting involved. Cause I really love audiences, and I really love that every night, cause it's different people every night, you get something completely different. So yeah, I'll be talking to the people at the front, but they mustn't be afraid of it. It's all good fun. I mean, I have this permanent dread is if I go somewhere, like I'll go to a party, or I'll go to some social event, and someone will come up to me and go, I came to see you in, you know, in Derby or whatever, and I sat in the front and you said this to me, and I'm like, oh no. And these people come out the woodwork everywhere who I've been rude to somewhere along the line. So, but it's just for fun. You know, relax, everyone.
Has it ever gone bad on the night, though? Like, has anyone ever lashed out back that has copped it from you and not taken it on the chin?
There was a night once where, this is such a long time ago, in a really small club, where a guy got up, came up, grabbed me by my tie.
No.
And he was very, he was several sheets to the wind. And I said, you don't really know what's going on, do you? And he said, no, I don't.
When you're doing your TV show, and if anyone hasn't seen this, get online, have a look for Al Murray, Why Does Everybody Hate the British Empire? And although on the surface of it, the TV show you think is going to be quite downtrodden towards Brits and the British Empire. In fact, it's not, and it's a really enjoyable watch as well. And it's done Al Murray, as opposed to being done as the pub landlord. Yeah. It's done as yourself as well. Are you going to do more of these? Because I feel like this was a side to you that I hadn't seen, and certainly I'd only seen the comic side. And I thought, when we see Al Murray as a person, it's a different experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, when the pandemic came, I just started doing a podcast about the Second World War with a historian, a guy named James Holland, called We Have Ways of Making You Talk. And because of the pandemic, I had nothing else to do. The theatres were closed. You know, you couldn't make telly. So I've really thrown myself into that. And I've sort of, in the last sort of 4 years, I've essentially become a historian. And so we do have programmes like that. And there's some podcasting, and I'm in the middle of writing a history book right now. I wrote one last year, wrote one this year, and I've sort of because I did a history degree at university, but didn't really apply myself because I was getting into doing comedy and mucking about and doing sketches and stand up and stuff. So I've ended up kind of going back to it, and I feel like a tremendous imposter though when people go, "Oh, you're a historian now," and I said, "No, not really. I'm just really, really into it." But I also don't like the word buff. Because that makes you sound like a train spotter. If you're a history buff, that makes you sound like, you know, you're interested in locomotives, and I'm not interested in locomotives. So it's that. I've started doing all that stuff too, and those programs they've got a bit of pub landlord in them, and they've also got me trying to get to grips with this stuff. We did one about Ireland as well, which was called "The Why Does Everyone Hate the English," which we did in Ireland. That was a tremendous eye opener.
Yeah.
Because we did one about we did five of those programs. We did one about France, and in France, it's long gone, the idea that the British and the French, you know, have any beef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the stuff in Ireland is still alive, you know.
We like to call it banter. We call it banter. It's only banter. And that's how we get away with it so often. And because just the accent, the lilt involved in it, I think it allows you to get away with it a bit.
Well, the British people generally find irresistible. It's your trump card. You just have to hear an Irishman talking. I think, yeah, what do you want? You can have what you like.
It's so true.
They don't understand thousands of years of bad blood.
Yeah, 837. But who's not? No one's counting. We're not counting.
And the amount of stuff that this one gets away with just because of his accent on The Daily with me—it's ridiculous, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
So tell us a bit about your life off stage. Like, when you get invited to a party, are you the life of the party, or do you tend to be a little bit more introverted?
I'd say, halfway in between. It depends. Depends who I'm with. You know, I'm not like a. There are some comedians, and I think, you know, Frank Skinner's coming to the festival.
Yeah, we spoke to him yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frank, Frank is, what he's like on stage is what he's like off stage. There's no, he doesn't put it on. It isn't a performance. Whereas I put the costume and it's very much a performance. So there's a big gap between what I'm like and what the character I play is like. Whereas, so I'm not one of those people who's on all the time, not one of those comics. But yeah, I mean, with my pals, I'll let my hair down. But I mean, I went to some event yesterday where I very often say yes to things that I think, why have they invited me? Because then you get to see the world. You know, you get to see different worlds, different planets, different people, and different sort of different tribes of people. That's the sort of thing I really, really enjoy. But that'll be one where I'm, you know, watching and chatting to people who I don't know, kind of keeping my guard up. But you know, if we had a party here this afternoon, I'd be being a right pain in the backside.
Now,
in your man cave, yeah.
When we spoke to Frank as well, and just as you mentioned him, we'd mentioned how the level of intelligence that's required for a comedian is I don't know, aside from an astrophysicist, I don't think a level of intelligence of that caliber. Obviously, there are exceptions to the rule, depending on what level of comedy it is. But you very much fall into that. It takes a lot of intelligence to be able to play a character like the pub landlord and then be able to flip it. And as you say, you're a historian. Frank Skinner, obviously, another super smart comedian. Because it does require that you're super quick, you're super quick-witted. You have to be switched on when you're on the stage. So now you've obviously capitalized on that with his historian side of it. What else is in there as a hidden? Because everyone has two or three things where they're like, well, I'm actually not bad at that.
Well,
so it wasn't going to be history.
Well,
what else?
Music. I mean, your listener can't see this, but obviously, but I'm in a, I have a music studio at home. I play the drums. I actually have a company that makes drums in Stockport in Manchester called the British Drum Company. So music is my thing. And that's the other thing. When the pandemic came, I have a younger, one of my daughters is a singer. She's an amazing singer songwriter. And we wrote a ton of music, in the pandemic because there was nothing else to do. And normally with your kids, you go, hey, let's do some music together. She's like, yeah, whatever, dad, that's not cool. But because we had literally nothing else to do, I was able to lead the horse to water and make her drink. And we've recorded 3 hours of music. I think we're going to put an album on Bandcamp or one of the whatever those streaming things are in the next couple of months, because she's absolutely brilliant, and we've recorded this big slab of stuff, and which I'm terribly proud of, actually. And although she needs some cool young musicians to hang around with rather than her fat bald dad, but there we are.
Well, when you do put it out there for someone to listen to where we can find it, let us know, because we'd love to give it a spin. Yeah,
I shall. Yeah.
That's the next tour you end up doing, half pub landlord, half music experience. It could be a two for one in Dubai Opera.
Well, I do sing in my shows. Although singing is you know, the aspiration rather than the achievement.
Yeah, yeah. We're using that term loosely for that one. But the show's on the 16th of April. Look, if you get a chance when you're in town as well, you pop in to see us. If you can, we'll show you around the instruments that we use for work more than the instruments, because we've had a look inside into your life.
I'd love to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Opera House is such a great place.
Beautiful venue.
It really is.
Venue.
It's our favourite, yeah.
Yeah, it's where I, last time I came, where I played, and I had you know, I'd done the I think the World Trade Center place, and then the theatre at the Jumeirah.
Jumeirah, yeah.
Jumeirah,
yeah. various places, but the Opera House, it's the real deal. It's state of the art. It's beautiful. It's not, I mean, there's nothing, if you're going to a show, nothing really beats being in a theater that's nice to be in. That really helps the comedian. Trust me. If you're in like a warehouse, the comedian, that the audience is thinking, oh, I'm in a warehouse. But if they're in a beautiful theater, they're thinking, well, tonight's the night. This is the big show. I'm so excited to be here. And that's what's brilliant about the Opera House.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing the show. We're looking forward to seeing you in person when you're back over here again. All part of Dubai Comedy Fest. Al Murray, thanks for taking time. Thanks for letting us into your man cave and having a chat with you today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.